Right, guys, always a privilege and a blessing to be able to be here with you. And a special time this year being able to go with many of you to Israel and to be able to have that time together as well. What a blessing that was. I know that many of you have come up for different reasons. I'll just mention a few that the Lord put on my heart, and so blessed to have Pastor John just kind of start us off tonight with time to get real. Time for us to be able to come up here and be real men. Men that are vulnerable. Men that are honest before the Lord. Because if we're not that, then we're not real men, are we? And so as we come up the mountain, let's just start off with that premise. And by the way, what sweet worship tonight, huh? What a blessing that was to be able to start us out with that worship. I know that many of you have come up with a heart that is looking for just a new thing to take place while you're up here on the mountain. Some of you have wandered from your love for the Lord, your commitment to the Lord, your radical, if you will, position before the Lord, and we're praying this time up here on the mountain would be one that would just stir your heart and for you to recognize that God wants to do that work like never before in your lives. And for those that are feeling that way, have sensed that there's just something in me that's not right that I need to present before the Lord, I need to leave on the mountain, let us just say this, that there isn't anyone here, none that is righteous, no, not one, and that each and every one of us, if we're real before the Lord, or have things that we need to deal with, and that the Lord's been speaking to us about, and now is the time for us to be able to deal with. So no one looking down on you, no one condemning you, no one here that has that position, only one, and that's Christ, that has that position, and his position is not to condemn, but, of course, the conviction of the Holy Spirit to bring us to a place that we might get right with him and enjoy that sweet fellowship that we've been desiring. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says this, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." And bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so we pray that the brethren would gather around one another as the confessions are made and the open and honest, vulnerable position come to bear, that this weekend would be a time where we would gather around each other and encourage and support, allowing for God to do only the work that he can do and allowing us to know that we can be victorious. As the Lord says in Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and that this weekend would be a time for him to do just that. For the others of you, you come up needing a challenge. You know that there are some of you this evening that are sitting here and your walk with the Lord has become stifled. It's not the love for God. It's not the heart for God that you once had. I had the privilege of being in Mexico just a couple days ago with a couple that just come to the Lord, and it radically stirred my heart as I was sharing with them, and I could see that every word that I was bringing before them, every passage of Scripture, that they were just devouring, and they were eating it up in such a way that it excited me to be there sharing with them. And I pray that this weekend will be that weekend for many of you, that you would just catch fire again and that you would return to your first love. And it will be a time of reigniting the fire, if you will, within you so that you might fulfill all that God has for you. And that's only going to take place if you spend time alone with him in his word. Guys, we're here together. It's going to be a great time of fellowship, a great time of stirring one another up. But more than anything, you don't want to miss out on those times when you just take a walk with him alone. You know, the busyness of your schedules, And you know the busyness of life and all that takes place. And many times we deny our desperate need to be alone with Him. And while you're here for the weekend, don't deny that time. Find time to just get alone with the Lord and spend some time in prayer. And then there's a third group that I thought about, and that is a group that's up here, and you don't know why the heck you're up here, but you're here, and I want you to know this. God knows, and He's got some great things to be able to show you, and amen, He's going to be able to bring it. And so we're looking forward to Jeremiah 29:11 coming to life for you and knowing the thoughts that He has towards you, thoughts that are what? Of peace. Not of evil, to give you a future and a hope and to really have that being stirred up. Well, would you pray with me this evening? Father, we come before You and thank You. Thank You for a time, God, that we can come and set all things aside. I thank You, God, for these men. And Lord, their heart, their desire to be able to set aside all the other things that are important in life, to come up and say that You're the most important. To be able to come up and say, God, I want to get my priority right. And my priority is being called to be a man of God. And Lord, that You might minister to each one of us here and help us, God, to be able to fulfill our heart's desire. Our desire is to come here for that reason. And Lord God, Holy Spirit, come. Fill this place, Lord, and fill each one of us so that we might accomplish that desire. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I want to just talk to you for a moment about dealing with one of the tragedies in the church today, and that is the false gospel that's being preached. I want to speak to you about it because many are getting caught up in it, and many in our churches are getting caught up in it. And Calvary Chapel is not exempt from this. And many times in the ministry of the work that's going on in the church, people can start to draw away and be under, if you will, the impression that they can get away from the things that God has called us to be as a church and follow a false gospel. The other day I was looking on the internet and I was looking at a church that allows for their pastor to curse from the pulpit. Allows him to just flat out curse from the pulpit. And this guy began to talk about how open they are. And so open that they allow for lesbian and homosexual and adulterous people to have leadership positions in the church. And they're proud of it. And they say that any church that doesn't have that kind of heart for lesbians, for homosexuals, for adulterers, is worse than those that are committing the sin because they have become judge, and there's only one judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 and in verse 9. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived," the Apostle writes. "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites." Listen, Jesus Christ has already laid the judgment for that kind of activity. He's already laid the, if you will, script for us to be given to. And He's called for the church to be a holy people, a people that are set apart, not ones that are given to the ways of the world. And we need to be careful, because many are falling away to the false gospel that is being preached in our country under the guise of being called the Church of Jesus Christ. I remind you, turn there with me, Matthew chapter 7. Because in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord goes through that Sermon on the Mount, such a beautiful sermon, and He comes to chapter 7 and verse 21, and He speaks very clearly about the deception of those kind of false gospels. He says this in chapter 7 and verse 21. "Not everyone who says to Me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of My Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I want to be very clear here tonight because I believe that it's something the Lord has placed on my heart for us as men to be able to examine tonight. And that is, how are we exactly walking in the manner in which God has called us to be holy, even as he is holy? Are we being those that call ourselves those that come under the true gospel, or have we fallen into and been prey, if you will, of the false gospels that are being preached today in many places around our country? The ones that are preaching an easy grace or sloppy agape, if you will, allowing for all kinds of sinful activity to continue in the realm of the church, never being fully surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We have to examine ourselves this evening, guys, as we begin this time on the mountain, because the only way that anything from here on out, anything that else is going to be preached, is not going to have any meaning, is not going to make one bit of eternal difference if we don't first bow our hearts in repentance before the Lord Jesus and ask for his forgiveness. The reason I'm dealing with this right off the bat, guys, is because there are many in this church, in the three churches that are gathered here, many in the church, because I'm counseling them all the time. Many, as I talk with Pastor John and we talk about some of the counseling sessions we have, many that believe that they can continue to drink alcohol all day and all night and all week and come to church on Sunday and they're all right. They believe that they can get away with smoking pot and doing all kinds of drugs, being involved in sexual activities outside of marriage, and that they can still be a part of the church and be engaged in the things of the Lord. Come to the church and act and pretend like it's okay because I'm a usher or a parking lot attendant, because no one knows of the secret things that I do when I'm not here on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. You and I need to take a look, guys, at our life and recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ used the Apostle Peter to say, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil seeketh like a roaring lion who he may devour. We need to recognize that it's time to quit trying to separate faith from discipleship. We're talking about radical discipleship tonight. And we need to recognize that we have to come to a place of understanding that if we're going to have faith in the one that can save, he has to be Lord of our life. He has to be the one that is master and the one that we give control to. And too many people are acting like Jesus Christ is a great fire insurance from hell, but we don't have to bow to him as Lord. It's amazing to me that people act as if they can grab hold of Savior and not Lord, and they're not the same being. God, the creator of all things, is one God, and he is both Lord and Savior, and called that way throughout Scripture. And you and I need to be those that are committed to him completely. Well, my topic for tonight is the call. And so I'd like you to turn, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel and to chapter 4 as we move into just the, if you will, body of this message, the things that the Lord has placed on my heart for dealing with the call that is a simple call and yet very much not so simple as many of us have experienced and are going to see as we work through this passage tonight. Chapter 4 and verse 18, guys, says Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, Andrew, his brother, casting Simon Peter, and called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee, their father, and mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Many different ways in which, as we go through Scripture, the Lord calls different people at different times into different ministries. And I want to just be able to look at some of, if you will, the things that are important as we look at the calling that the Lord has on our lives. And I want to first start out by saying that the Lord never calls us to do anything that he has not already equipped us for. And we need to understand that as we move ahead and we start to pray and we start to ask the Lord, Lord, tell me, show me, what is the calling that you have on my life? God, I want to fulfill the calling, because I believe this, guys, that you'll never be fulfilled in your life until you fulfill the calling that Christ has on it. It is only when we find that calling and we are engaged in that calling that we feel we have the fulfillment that Christ wants us to have, the abundant life that Christ died for us to be able to experience. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, let me take you to Ezekiel for a minute and show you how the Lord does this so often, makes a call and absolutely gives everything that's necessary for the call to be fulfilled. Ezekiel chapter 2, if you'll turn there in your Bibles. I want to show you a couple things here as we work through this call and the things that are important that you and I would recognize need to take place if we're going to fulfill the call. And the first is, the Lord always equips those that he calls for that calling. In chapter 2 and verse 1, it says this, and he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. And then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me. And he set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me, and he said to me, son of man, I'm sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. I want you to notice with me that God calls Ezekiel to stand to his feet. And he tells Ezekiel, here's what your calling is. Your calling is that you're going to go to a rebellious people. They continue to rebel against me. But the word of God, look at it with me. It says that stand to your feet. And he says, you're going to a rebellious people. But the Lord spoke to me and the Spirit entered into Ezekiel. Guys, man, the ministry of U Turn for Christ, the ministry of Calvary Chapel, Romaland, the ministry of Calvary Chapel, of Revival Christian Fellowship, Calvary Chapel, San Bernardino, is all about the Word of God. And this is why. Because it is only in understanding and knowing and reading and giving way to the Word of God that the Holy Spirit comes into us and fills us and allows for us to be ready for the calling that God has on us. God equips us for the calling by us being committed to his word. It is through the word of God that we, each one of us, have come to a place of accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, filled by the Holy Spirit to be able to do the work that he has for us to do. Number one, God never, never calls us without equipping us. Number two, I want to be able to show you that the calling commands obedience. Go back to Matthew's gospel in chapter 4 and look at it with me once again. It calls for us to be obedient. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their net and followed him. And going on from there, he saw the two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. It's amazing to me that as we move in the church today, how obedience has become so unpopular. Unpopular, even in the church today. The rebellion, the flesh is strong, and we recognize that. But even in the church today, where we're learning the word, being taught the word, and we have over and over again the rebellion to the word, the lack of us being those that just say, "Yes, Lord," and are committed to the things that he has spoken to us. The obedience for us that call ourselves Christian is mandatory if we're going to answer the call. There is no other way of answering the call but to be those that are obedient to the Lord. And since these words are in the imperative mood, we recognize that it is a command of the Lord to these men. It isn't, "Hey guys, if you feel like it someday, come and follow me and we'll try and do this together." No, it was a command from the Lord. And the command is the same for you and I. Here's what I believe, and I'm waiting for somebody to show me different. I believe that when Jesus said, "Follow me," he meant follow me in everything. In everything. Not in the things that are comfortable, not in the things that you're okay with, but follow me in everything. And you and I have got to get to the place where we recognize all is that means is being obedient. Funny, we were on our way up the mountain today and joking with Pastor Bob from Sacramento as he was driving up the mountain. The GPS said, you know, turn right or something. And Bob was like, "I don't know about what I want to do here." And I said, "Look, you don't have to be a brainiac to just follow the command. Just be obedient. Right? You want to get to the right place, just be obedient to what it says." So it is with you and I. If we want to get to the right place in our relationship with the Lord, just be obedient. And yet, it is one of the most difficult things many times for you and I as believers. The command is be obedient. And as I look at this word, look at what it says. They left their nets immediately and followed him. It is as if you will, the officer of the military gave the command, and what happens? The men move out. They don't hesitate. They don't say, "Hey, wait, I think I got a better idea." They don't say, "Hey, you know, there's another plan that someone else suggested." The command is to go, and the men move out to accomplish the task. I remind you, 2 Timothy in chapter 2, where the apostle writes, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He says this, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." So it is that they immediately leave the things of the world. They leave the fishing. They leave the nets. And I think one of the things that we've got to examine ourselves about this evening and throughout the week is, Lord, have I really allowed for you to become the priority? Are you the Lord? Or am I still holding on to and still more focused on spending more time and energy and effort and finances on the things of the world rather than the things of the Lord? The Lord wanting us to be rich in the things of him. As I look at this passage of Scripture, I see that too many times we, as those called the Christians, the followers of Christ, act as if we're on vacation rather than at war and aren't ready to be able to go into battle because we're too distracted by the things of the world rather than the things of God. As I look at this word, it is such a command from the Lord, follow me. that it is the same kind of command that he gave to Lazarus in John 11 when he said, come forth. There wasn't a question in Lazarus. He wasn't, well, I can kind of think I like it in this tomb, you know. I'm going to hang out here all wrapped up for a while. It was come forth. And immediately, upon the command, Lazarus comes forth. Jesus said this about his sheep, right? You remember John in chapter 10. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we really those that are obedient to the Lord and following him? Well, next, I'd like you to go back to chapter 4, if you were in Matthew, and this time up a verse to verse 17, because I think if we're going to be those that follow the command to follow him, then we have to be those that follow in repentance. We have to come to the understanding that the first place for us is, Lord, you're right, and I'm wrong, and I need you to be able to help me be able to be one that chooses to do right and no longer to do wrong. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, this time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's very clear, isn't it? The message of the Lord was one of repentance. And as the Lord goes now and he starts to call his disciples, they know what they're being called to. They know that it is a calling of a life of repentance. They know that it's a calling from darkness to light. They know the command is given in such a manner that Jesus gives that command, and it is, I've got to go. There's no way I cannot go. I have to step out of this darkness and into the light. And it's no better scene than in Matthew's calling. Turn to chapter 9 of Matthew for a moment. And there's no better, if you will, view of this call and the need to repent and being able to answer the call than that of Matthew. And I think no clearer, if you will, look at it, because he has been one who is despised by all the Jews for joining with the Roman forces and receiving the taxes and, if you will, taking advantage of the people. And in chapter 9 and verse 9, it says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax office. And he said to him, follow me. And so he arose and followed him. Matthew was called to give it up. Matthew was called to repentance. You and I are called. There's only one way that we're called. It is to repent of our sin. And I'm telling you that that's something that we need to deal with tonight. Before we leave here tonight, we need to deal with so that the Lord can do what he wants to do for the rest of the weekend. We have to be those kind of vessels, clean vessels that he can work with. And you and I need to come to the place of understanding, man, the Lord said he's not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And if we're going to answer the call, then we've got to be those that realize he's underscoring repentance is the point at which it must start. And the answer of the calling begins to take place. And so many of you might be here tonight and you're thinking, well, Pastor, you mentioned a few sin. You mentioned, you know, the sin of sex outside of marriage. I'm clean. I'm not involved in that. Yeah, I'm not using drugs. I'm not, you know, out drinking and getting drunk. I'm not really. Well, let me ask you this. How about, have you ever looked on a woman? Because the Lord says, man, it's a matter of the heart. Have you ever looked on a woman? Have you ever thought, if you will, a thought that was ungodly? Because sin is sin, and it's all needed to be repented of. And we all need to come to a place of recognizing and understanding, man, this battle is continuing to rage. And you know what? The only way that I'm going to have victory in it is by being one that recognizes I am not perfect. I have not arrived. And Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to give me victory. And tonight I'm coming before you to be able to just say, Lord, I'm here that you might take it away. Lord, let take the desire away from me, God. Because until the desire's gone, guys, I want to make sure that you hear this because it's so real. Until you have the desire gone, it's only on a shelf to be got later. It's only on a shelf to be had later. Something goes on, something that distracts, something that just doesn't feel good to you, and back to it you go. Back to the thought, back to the action, back to the sinfulness. You and I need to be those that come in repentance before the Lord. I remind you of 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty for pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity. Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. It is that God has called us to be holy as he is holy, and we need to be those that repent. J.M. Boyce said it this way, and I think he said it also well. Anyone who thinks that he can follow Christ without renouncing sin is dreadfully confused and deluded. And I believe that there are many in the church today that are dreadfully confused and deluded because they will not turn from their sin and thinking that they can get away with it in the darkness. In that book of Ezekiel, it's an amazing thing to hear Ezekiel, as God shows him the sin of the high priest, if you will, the 70 elders in Israel at the time, going into the depths of the temple, into the darkness of the rooms by themselves to be engaged in their sin. And God says, they act as if I do not see. In Hebrews in chapter 4, he tells us we're all naked and must give an account to the one who we will stand before. You and I need to recognize that God sees all and that we need to repent if we're going to fulfill the calling that God has on our lives. Back to chapter 4 of Matthew, if you would. The calling commands also submission. I want you to see that. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw the two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and listen to what it says, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Another thing that we have to address if we're going to fulfill the call is that we are called to be submitted to him. People don't like that word. Women don't like that word when we tell them to be submitted to us as husbands, do they? But you know what? Just as much as they don't like it, we don't like it when we're told that we need to be submitted. And God calls us to be submitted. If we're going to fulfill the call that God has on our lives, then we need to be those that are submitted. Once again, Jesus didn't say, hey, just have it your way. Hey, guys, I'm just coming by to say, hey, good on you. Do it however you want to do it. No, he said, come and follow me. Too many people in the church today are thinking that they can just do it their way. They're Burger King Christians, right? And they just act like that's a real deal for them, that they can just have it their way. Instead of being those that are submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and recognizing that he's called us to that place. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, guys, you can turn there. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. I want you to be able to see this because it's so important that God has called for us to follow him and follow him in submission. And as these guys are there in their boat, dad is the one that they're submitted to. But God is calling them away from that submission. You remember the Lord telling us that we need to have a comparison with any other relationship as hatred as to the comparison that we have for him and our love for him. If we're going to be his disciples, we've got to be those that are absolutely, completely submitted to him. And no other relationship can come before him. And so it is that you and I need to take a lesson here in the submission as Jesus kind of puts it on front line, if you will, in 11 and verse 29. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Lord comes so that we might have rest for our soul, but it only takes place when we're submitted. You know the picture that is painted here. It is of a yoke being placed on a lead ox, and there being, if you will, a submitted learning ox next to him. And so the Lord says, "My yoke, well, I'll take care of it if you'll just be submitted to following along with me. If you'll just allow me to lead you. If you'll just come and allow for me to be the lead ox and allow that yoke that binds the two of us to be able to pull, if you will, through this life, through this, if you will, plowing of the field." It's the picture that we get. "So that I might be the one that carries the weight." The word submit comes from two Latin words, sup, which means under, and mit, which means to place. And so the word is simply to place yourself under the control, under the guidance and direction of the Master, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see Jesus call in that manner. And as they call, he calls for James and John, he says, "No other authority. No other person can you be submitted to if you're going to fulfill the call." It is the priority that needs to take place. And we have to ask ourselves again, are we fulfilling that call? You know, men, sometimes that means, and listen, I am one, Pastor John knows for all these years, Bob, those that know me know that I'm one that absolutely is given to the relationship of the husband and wife and us being one. But there are times when I have to be submitted to the Lord and not to my wife, Peggy. My love for her needs to have enough spiritual, if you will, power to be able to say, "I love you too much for me to go against what God is saying that we need to do, so that mine and your relationship is at peace rather than mine and his." There are times when you and I as husbands, as the spiritual leader of the family, need to take the position of recognizing not only leave your father and your mother, but recognizing that you and I at times will have to make calls that our wives are not happy with as well. They'll come around. Believe me, you won't sleep on the couch too long. She'll get over it, and you'll be all right. But there are times, men, that if we're going to follow the call of God, that we need to stand up and make sure that our wives know that we are not going to fold when it comes to following his call. The next one is the command absolutely demands commitment. Let's go back to Matthew in chapter 4 there again in verse 18. And again, as Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, he sees the brothers. And I want to read this each time so that we get the whole picture again. Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their net and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left their father and followed him. Following Christ takes real commitment. It takes real commitment. You know, you can't say that you're going to follow Christ and give your word to somebody and then, because it's not convenient, break your word. You can't say you're going to follow Christ and sign up to be one that's an usher and then, because you want to watch a football game, you don't show up to fulfill that call that God has on your life of ushering. You can't. The Word of God's not putting up with, if you will, us being those that say, when it's convenient, Lord, I'll be there. God, when I feel like it, I'll be there. But it is that the Lord is saying, listen, I'm calling you to follow me in everything. And when I call you to follow me, it means I'm asking for a commitment. I'm calling you to be engaged, to be one that is devoted and loyal and dedicated to the call in which I have given you. Romans chapter 13, guys, turn there for a moment as we look at the Apostle Paul once again and his call for us to step away from the things of the world, to step away from the old way of life, and to be committed to this call of holiness, to be committed to following in the footsteps of Christ and recognizing that you and I have to be those that are devoted, devoutly in love, devoutly in love with the Lord. In Romans 13, Paul says this in chapter or verse 11. He says, and do this, knowing that the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Notice those words that are here, guys. They're so important. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. I think it is important for us to recognize that the Apostle Paul says, the Lord Jesus Christ, it is as if he is saying, my God, Jesus Christ. Jehovah, God, Jesus Christ. It is him that has called us to follow. It is he that we call ourselves follower of, disciples of. And so we see the commitment of Paul in him coming to Jesus. And he says, give way to all of the fleshly desires. Give way to it. Get it out of your life. Have it no longer. Be a part. And here's why, guys. Because don't you see that it's high time to do so? Man, we've had enough time in the past, haven't we? We've had enough time in the darkness. And the apostle calls and he says, just come and be committed. Be one that's devoutly in love with the Lord, one that's committed and given to him. Or if you will, he says, James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Then he goes on to say, lest you deceive yourself. Lest you deceive yourself. And I want to say this evening that there are many in the church today that are deceiving themselves. They're not deceiving God, but we're deceiving ourselves. We think if we get enough, you know, we're good liars. We think if we're good enough to deceive our spouse, deceive our brother, deceive our sister at the church, well, we got away with it. No, we've only deceived ourselves. God's call is for you and I to be those that are committed to the God, man, Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the last thing that I'll bring to your attention is if we're going to fulfill the command, we have to be those that persevere. We have to be those that persevere. Go back once again, if you will, with me. It says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw the two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left their father and followed him. The Lord said, "And I will make you fishers of men." It was future tense, guys. It was future tense. And I think there's a great word from that for us, and that is the final important element, if you will, of following after Christ is perseverance and knowing that it's not a one-time thing, but it is an ongoing time after time, moment after moment, choice after choice, decision that you and I have to make, that you and I have to make, that you and I are called to be those that recognize the call of God is one for the rest of our life. It is for us to be able to go from the time that we commit to Jesus for that first moment and knowing that he is truly Lord of our life until the time that we breathe our last breath here on the earth. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, who are being saved, he said. It is the power of God. You and I need to recognize that it is ongoing. Jesus brought us salvation in the past. It's true that in the cross, the blood of the atonement for our sin takes place. But it is also true that the Word of God speaks to us about our salvation being ongoing, future tense, if you will. Let me give you a few other passages. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. "And you will be hated by all those for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." It is that we're to continue in the calling, that we're not to give up in the calling. We're not to say, "I did that at one time, and now I'm just living in the under the grace of Almighty God." No, the grace of Almighty God stirs a man to obedience. And yes, we're sinners, and yes, there are times when we're going to fall, but the maturity and the statue, if you will, of the status of a man and his maturity in the Lord is to be able to quickly repent when he knows that he has fallen. And to be able to move away from that fall and back into the obedience of Christ. You and I are called to be men that follow Christ to the end, persevere through all the difficult trials and testings that come our way. In Philippians 2 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes it this way, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation." The Lord says, listen, with fear and trembling, with the ultimate respect for who it is that's called you. Work out, allow for the thanksgiving in your heart for the incredible grace that has been poured out on you to have you be active in the things of the Lord and not given to the things of the world. Persevering. I think about the Apostle Paul in chapter 13. Why don't you turn to 2 Corinthians in chapter 11? Because I think it's good for us to be reminded of such an example. I think that's why the Lord would have this passage recorded for us. It certainly wasn't Paul bragging, but it was him allowing for us to see the incredible grace that was poured out on him and how in his thankfulness for that grace, that he could allow for the Lord to give him victory after victory, from bring him from, as he wrote, glory to glory. Listen, it says in chapter 11 and verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in death often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. in journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city and in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea and perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides other things. What comes upon me daily, my deep concern for the churches. I am going to persevere. I am going to continue. I am going to fulfill the call that God has on my life. And the call we know that God had on the Apostle Paul's life was to be able to spread the gospel throughout the Gentile world. Incredible. Through all of those things that came, that he never gave up on the call that God had on his life. You and I need to recognize the call has gone out. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The call has gone out. The question that we have to ask is, how are we responding to the call? Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you for being such a gracious God. And even in the midst of all, Lord, that we've just worked through, we know, God, that you want to deal with many here, individuals as well as collectively, about answering the call and us being those that are steadfast, God. Being those, Lord, that the recognition is first to be thankful and that you never give us a calling that you haven't prepared us for, you haven't equipped us for. God, let us recognize that it starts with repentance. And Lord, there may be some here tonight that know it is time to just get real with you. We want to start there. We want to give opportunity, guys. Listen, it's not a time for anything but to give way to the call. And the give way to the call is to start by being those that are honest and repenting of those things that, you know, just don't please the Lord. Areas of our lives that we knew coming up here he was even talking to us about. Maybe for days, weeks, months, even years, we've been rebelling against. But tonight, in this place, a place of safety and a place of brotherhood, a place that we can be vulnerable and honest and open with one another. May we start tonight, guys, by not being afraid. May we start by not pretending, and by being those guys that are men. I ask you, man, not playing around and going through this in some kind of manipulation way. Just straight out. The call is knocking on your door. The Lord Jesus Christ. And just saying, are we going to play another game or are we going to be real? And while this song's played, I'm going to ask those of you that know that he's speaking to you just to come up and kneel down here, stand here, get on your face here before the Lord in front of, if you will, this platform as this song's being played. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray tonight, guys. We're going to start by doing what's necessary in the first step. You come.